Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you would like to write to the WIBR Warn Radio, you can do so by going to our contact page on warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow the Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216. On Twitter and Instagram, it's hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, use hashtag Watchman. And you can join us on USA.life and MeWe by using hashtag Warn Radio. You can join us on Clout Hub at Warn Radio and Parler by using at Watchman DGS. You can listen to our shows through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And these are the special events and celebrations coming up on Friday evening, September 18th, through the evening of September 19th is the Feast of Trumpets. Also Tishri, I believe that's how you say it. It's Tishri 1, it's the new month and the new moon. And September 27th, the evening to the evening of September 28th, is the Day of Atonement, and the High Holy Days from Trumpets to the Days of Atonement. The evening of October 2nd to the evening of October 10th is the Feast of Tabernacles. And so those are the special holidays coming up. And please take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman. He puts a lot of time in these. They're inspired and anointed. And this week we feature Islam and the Antichrist Jesus, Christian Truth and Warrior Faith, The Age When Jesus Christ Became an Enemy in America, Mother of Harlots, and The Beast. You can read those articles on danaglennsmith.com and by going to warn-usa.com. You can read Baal Kneeling to Uncleanness. And Dana has put together a classic series. It's the Dunamis of Acts, and it's the Warn Radio Classic Series. You can go to warn-usa to find this series. It's featured on the front page. It's Acts Classic Warn Radio is a 14-part series in two sections from The Watchman, Dana G. Smith, bringing you the experience of Acts, the supernatural empowerment, the anointing of the Lord, and the gospel going forth was the structure of the day. So don't miss those series. Go to warn-usa.com. And now I welcome in The Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing all right. Doing good tonight.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Battle Lines. And tonight, it's part 63, Beginning Wisdom in Isaiah's prophetic book. That's exciting.
63 parts. That's a lot of parts. Parts is parts.
But these parts are inspired parts.
Yep.
They're about the true and living God. That's what's exciting.
Today I was checking out our Twitter feed, and we've got three different feeds. And I noticed that someone had been to our Vimeo site. I don't talk about Vimeo much, but we have 1,300 videos, high-depth videos of shows that we've done from the past.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. And we continue to keep it up there, and it costs us so much a year. And we can always put new ones up, but we're pretty much out of the video business as far as that goes. It doesn't discount doing them from time to time. But I noticed that someone had been to our Blood Guilt video there, and they had posted it, and now they're following us. They never followed us before, and and so they had seen the video and posted it, Blood Guilt. It's a big series.
Well, that's cool, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is a big deal because that's a very important message. You can find Blood Guilt all the way from Genesis 1 to Revelation. The Lord talked about it. It was dealt with, you know, he dealt with it. So Blood Guilt is very much alive today.
Yes, it is.
So, at any rate, we're going to get ready to do this, Tower.
Okay. Well, let me just read this.
Go ahead.
Beginning wisdom is stated in Scripture as being the fear of the Lord. Here, respect, awe, wonder, worship, service, serve, discipleship, and more. What happens if a people moves away from that wisdom? Okay, back to you.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay.
And of course, beginning wisdom, it does tell you that where it says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the rest of that particular thing that Tower was reading goes like this. God in the days of the prophets sent these no hard-nosed, tough, straight-talking servants of God. Now, Isaiah was one of those. They would relay the message straight from the Lord and could not deviate from him, which is exactly what Isaiah said. He only said what the Lord told him to say in the office of the prophet. And as we move into this particular portion this week, we find that the religious quotes around that status quo of the priests and even the prophets and then the people fell away, as well as the political part. And of course, here we begin to ask, what about the wisdom? How about that beginning wisdom? Should they have had any of that? The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. In America today, when we look at wisdom, wisdom and knowledge both are carnal, self-centered, and much of it against the Lord God. And much of our knowledge and the tech and everything else we do is anti-God. The world is too. And a lot of our wisdom is carnal, self-centered, and against the Lord. And it was that way in Israel at the time. Although I think America is much worse, the message that Isaiah gives is applicable to America and to all nations today. Because God is just a God over all the nations. I say just because he's the only one there is. Our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father gave all power unto him to judge. And he will be judging the nations. He will be judging everybody. And so it's important, you know, where does the beginning of wisdom, you know, play in or come in at? And so when we find this and we look at that, we're going to be looking at these aspects, per se, and really trying to understand. Well, you know, I mean, look at it this way. We look at the point that Israel has a past where, you know, God had chosen them. Miracles and signs and wonders and the personal presence of God. This all things happened to them that happened to no other nation on earth. But as I've said before, although the backpedaling or the backsliding of Israel is known by many today, everybody knows about Israel, Judah, getting cast out of the land. Many of them have never let Israel forget that. But on the eve, after it happened, there's a big Middle East peace deal now, Israel and the Arabs. Very, very important, although many people, you know, the political realm and others are using it for political football, and they don't think so and criticize it, but it is a very big deal. And the thing of it is the ability of Israel to exist in the world today proves that God has not forsaken them. And they not only are back, they are in the land. And I'll tell you, since Trump has been in there, it's been a good ride for him. He's been very, very much pro-Israel. So as we look at Israel in Isaiah 28:7, let me go down here. And this kind of sums it up. Now, we've been talking about the wine and being drunk. Now, and Isaiah actually begins his book in chapter 5. And it says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue till night, till wine inflame them." In other words, when it inflames them, they're not thinking straight. And so it's not just the fact that, and we've covered Ephraim, Samaria, in other words, both of them, that's the same house, or the house of Israel, the northern tribes. Not only did they seem to like the hoochie pop, as we call it in our neck of the woods, or in this case, wine. In our neck of the woods, though, not many people would really imbibe in wine. Around here was something different. But at any rate, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, Isaiah 5:11, the beginning of that they may follow strong drink. And we've already talked about that in chapter 28. We find this same drunkenness, and we also talked about the fact that when the harlot comes, Revelation 17, she's got a glass, and it looks like a glass of wine. It's known as harlotries, the wine of harlotries, the drunkenness, the liquid that, you know, the nations imbibe. And it's compared to wine, because wine was a big deal back in the time of Israel and even in the Middle East today, because much of the water at the time, in our modern day, we can purify our water, but back in those days, they didn't have that ability. So wine was like another beverage to drink, and that was their water. And of course, they had wells, but they had to dig wells, and a well could go dry. Now today, especially in the West, we have all kinds of water. And, of course, if we drink off to the side. And we have a lot of different things to drink, get drunk on. But see, the harlot, that's where that imagery comes from, is from the history of that region. That's why they had wine so much. And grapes grew real well there. And so, as a result of that, they used it a lot, especially when you had to be careful not to drink all the water out of the well, because they used it for the animals, they used it to bathe with, they used it for a lot of reasons. Of course, all your plants needed water, everything did. Now, see, around here, you know, in America, we have fresh water, we have it processed and purified. And of course, there's some people that have water distillers, and others have water purifiers and various things to make the water even more pure. But in the days of Isaiah and a lot of these others, they didn't have none of that. But if you had wine, you could have something to drink. But then it got further from that. It became one of those things that they depended on that helped them to forget about the problems. And, of course, a lot of drunkenness is also associated with Baal and Asheroth, and there's also sexual ceremonies. And, of course, the story of Balaam's ass and how he got into the middle of all this with Israel is also involved in things like that. But at any rate, in verse 7, but they also have erred through wine, through strong drink, or out of the way, the priests and the prophet have erred through strong drink. And they are swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. And, you know, in this verse 7, it points out here, and we've been talking about Samaria, Ephraim, the kingdom of Israel, they were going to be destroyed. Now, see, although Isaiah is looking at this, he's also talking about the fact that Judah would be saved. Now, this, of course, when Sennacherib came through, he actually attacked Jerusalem, and, of course, he was, his army was destroyed there. The Lord delivered them, and the Lord told the prophet to go talk to King Hezekiah and tell him that they would be delivered. But you see, the kingdom of Judah was not without their own sins. And so in the process of this, the sins are not going to go unpunished for them either. And here in verse 8, it says, for all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, that there is no plate clean. And, you know, this is unbelievable that this would be this way. But if you remember, you know, you could say, well, maybe they had a shortage of water. Maybe they're just drunk all the time. Maybe they drank so much that they would, and of course, this is where drunkenness and debauchery came in. This is where they could, you know, especially in the Roman Empire, it was a good example of it. They would get into their particular orgies of drinking and everything, and they would drink and drink and drink, and then they would eat and eat and eat, and then they'd go throw up and go back and continue to do it, and they would have sex and orgies and everything else. The Roman Empire got really bad. And, of course, this is something through history that you do see. So if we see this kind of thing in the modern world, that's a normal process for some people. But to see that, you know, they had a party after a party, especially on TV. I mean, if you see a murder mystery and somebody gets murdered, they're at a party, they go in the next day, and it's all bottles everywhere, and it's a mess. Well, see, this is pretty much what Isaiah is describing, that their homes were full of the mess from the previous partiness and party. And, you know, who wants to mess around in a place like that? Who cares about that? You know, it's just one of those things. You wouldn't want to. And so there's no place clean, and it's all infected and affected by it. And he follows this verse by another one. To whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And then he says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. You see, Paul picks up this, you know, talking about things like this, because Paul does talk about the fact that you are babes. I would have fed you meat, but you would have none of it. You wanted milk. You wanted pablum. You wanted all your meat ground up. You couldn't stand the full meat of the word. You couldn't absorb it. You didn't want to accept the responsibility of it. And so the prophet is saying, the Lord, and this is the Lord speaking, whom will he teach knowledge? I mean, James even talks about wisdom, and if he asked for wisdom, he said, don't waver. You know, don't be one day where you're all for it, and the next day you're not. And so who's he going to teach knowledge to? Who's he going to be able to do anything to? And who shall he make to understand the doctrine? And, Albert Barnes talks about it this way. The people had contempt or scorn for the manner God had instructed them through the prophets, and a disregard for his communications as if they were suited to children and not to adults. And, well, you know, the thing of it is, and this is the thing about the prophet is not there to throw sugar on the issue. A lot of your pastors today, a lot of the people that, are in churches today, are used to this easy-peasy gospel. See, the days of hellfire and brimstone preaching is virtually non-existent. And then after that came where people would preach the gospel and the salt of the word, but not be hellfire and brimstone as much. And that went by the wayside. And then, of course, we got into the user-friendly church, and then we got into the church where anything goes, and then only Lord knows what we got today in some of them churches. So how's the Lord going to teach the people what is right and what is wrong if the people won't listen, if they won't be taught? And of course, these people, you're talking about the Old Covenant, the law. And the law was the law. You messed up with the law and that was it, kids. That's it. You're cut off. Now you can repent. David repented. Psalm 51 is David's psalm of repentance. And he did, the Lord said he was a man after his own heart. David did repent when confronted by the prophet as well. But these prophets are not going to mess with you. If we had true, prophets of God here in America trying to turn America around, and I mean true prophets, and I mean ones that would show up and be in the public's eye, it would get kind of interesting really fast, because a true prophet is not going to mess around. Now, see, we're used to grace. We're used to the sugar on top of it. We're used to, we're under grace. We can ask the Lord to forgive us, and God's working at us. Yes, we're forgiven, but we're not perfect, and yada, yada. We have all kinds of little things that we go through. But in the Old Testament, in the law, there's things you needed to do. You didn't do them. That was it. And when they're not listening to the prophet because they did not like how he said it. And I can tell you, in America, if he were preaching to you, you wouldn't like how he said it either. You wouldn't like it at all. So these were basically drunken scoffers. And they mocked it, made it into a small thing, what was being taught by the prophets and even the priests. And, if you're all drunk at a party, how are you ever going to really pay attention and be serious about what someone's trying to teach you? Now, see, this is where the phrase came in at. And Isaiah says it in 6:9. And he said, go and tell this people, this is what the Lord told Isaiah, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Now see, the Lord picks this up in Matthew 13 through 14. He says, therefore I speak to them. The apostles had asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? And see, he explained the parables to the apostles, but he didn't explain it to the people. And he says, he quoted Isaiah. He's quoting Isaiah. He says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Paul also said it this way, you know, about knowledge. You know, you're ever learning, but never able to come to the truth. And we have a lot, you know, Paul didn't have the knowledge and the technology we do today. We have everything. And so we're always learning. We always have new technology. We always have new sciences. But yet, they fail to understand the truth. Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. They fail to understand what God wants. And so there is a disconnect in there. And there's many people that, you know, think that they can come to God anytime. Many people think that, you know, well, I can be forgiven anytime. Well, your day may not never come. May not come. That's a double negative. And believe me, hell is a double negative. If you've ever seen a double negative, hell is one of them, and you don't want to go there, because the results of a double negative equaling hell is the worst thing you could ever experience. And that's why through Yahshua, you don't need to, Jesus Christ. The Lord made a way. Yeah, you're hard of hearing. He can get your attention, and when he does, man, listen. See, that's the secret. But both houses of Israel wound up, Judah wound up in captivity for 70 years and actually got to come back. Israel, or the northern tribes, or also known as Ephraim or Samaria, weren't quite as lucky. They were scattered among the nations. They were never brought back from anywhere. It doesn't mean that none of them stuck around. You know, the obvious thing is when a conqueror comes in, he sends people to mate with the native women to combine the genes of the conquerors with the conquerees. And that makes them less likely to overthrow anybody when they are related to the ones who overthrew them. And they dilute the gene pool, and they'll also kill all the fighting men. And all the young ones will be made into slaves or sold. And anybody resisting will be killed, and the women will be used, period. And the kids that are young will be retaught and taught the proper way that they want. And this is exactly what happened to Israel when they went into Babylon. However, some of them, and we see the example from Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel, we know very well they were carrying out a lot of the things that they would have done back in Israel. They knew the lie. They knew what they had to do. And Daniel found out by reading in the book that Jeremiah had said they would be in there for 70 years. So Jeremiah, you know, had made this book, and Daniel was reading it. So, you know, there is a lot of these things that are interconnected when we talk about this. And, of course, Jeremiah comes later than Isaiah. And it's really interesting, too, because he says, whom shall he teach knowledge and be able to understand doctrine? He says, those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, those who want full meat, strong meat, a meat that it takes you a while to chew and understand it, you see. And this is this kind of an explanation, very, very common. Now, see, 28:10 follows that very verse. And it says, they hear, but do not hear, and see, but do not see. No, wait a minute. It says, they are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That's what we're talking about, verse 9. I was reading something else. And so it says, for precept must be on according upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now, I know what this verse says, because when you are giving stuff by the Lord, it comes in precept upon precept and line upon line. Matter of fact, this particular verse is used a lot, you know, in the movement of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and others, and giving messages as lined out in Corinthians. And, of course, the Assemblies of God is just one of those. There's a number of other organizations that follow that. But see, when the prophet gives the prophecy, they're very succinct, precept on precept, line upon line. You go through one, and then you have another line. You give them another precept on another line, and it goes down. It's very coordinated. It's very systematic. It's here, 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 on down. You follow it. Now, see, the thing that the people got irritated at is the way the prophets would give that. And, of course, instead of understanding it and trying to really accept it, they were too busy. They didn't want to understand. They didn't want to hear. They wanted a party. You know, life was good in a lot of these at the time. And, of course, there was trouble that came, but they pretty much was able to have wine and things. But by the time you get to Joel, you begin to see other things happening in the land, because he forecasts the army, the locusts, and they're not going to have any crops. And you see this a lot. And when you look at the prophets and you see the judgments coming in a variety of judgments, one after another, then you know that that is the judgment of the Lord. And you can compare this very thing to what's happened in America for probably 2-3 years right now, maybe even 4, that we've had things that come upon this nation one right after another, and most of America just ignores it. They don't associate it with judgment. Now, whereas I been doing this for over 2 decades, and as a watchman, I do watch this. I do see this. I know what it is, and I know what is happening. It doesn't surprise me. And although the experience, I don't like it. I knew, you know, I can see this. It's plain as day. And it's here in the prophets that you can see it. And, you know, I think that if we had prophets today, and, you know, we were called Israel, the same thing would happen. You know, Christ said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets. That's what they did to him. They got rid of him. They killed him. And look at Stephen when, after, you know, he became a believer and he took on the Jews and was talking to them, and he bested them in their own conversation, and their answer was to stone him to death. And in those days, that's really how they took care of those they didn't like. They would stone them to death. And, of course, Paul, he talks about being stoned and shipwrecked and all kinds of things, left for dead. It was a cost to follow the Lord. And in the English, Bullinger, in his interpretation, would read that law upon law, saw upon saw. I like the word saw. No, because what do you do with the saw? You cut. When we talk about the word, it divides asunder like what? A sword. There's a lot of these kind of things in there when we find in Scripture in order to give you a visual picture. Now, see, when we talk about the word today, the word is a discerner of the intents of the hearts, even dividing asunder of the bones and marrow. It's like a sword. The word of God is the sword to us as Christians, because it divides. And this law this word here was a law. Law upon law came at them, like a saw cutting away at their souls. They didn't like it. They didn't like how they were being treated. Of course, they were drunk. They were in a rebellion to God. They thought he was being unfair. And, you know, I don't think that everybody there thought that Isaiah was wrong or Jeremiah was wrong. I think these old prophets had friends. I think they had people that knew that they were right. Just like Paul said in reference to the prophets of Baal. And, of course, the prophet had fled to the desert. And the Lord said, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal in Israel. And see, this is where we overlook the fact that they're not all of them, not all of them were like that. But there was a lot of them that was. And it did affect the temple. It did affect the priests. It did affect even the prophets that were there. And the commentators and others that I have seen on this, they said the law went forth and the people resented the law and the prophets. And of course, in Luke 13:34, that's when he says that. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. He wanted to gather them, but they didn't want any part of it. You know, and the scripture is plain, you know, that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that seeketh God. There is none. There's none righteous. No, not one. They have all gone astray. And so you have all of these, all of this comprises when we talk about sinners, talk about the human race, talk about falling away. And when we look at Israel, we see a nation that God had gathered tenderly, had blessed it. And, of course, he expected them to act. They had a covenant at Sinai, and it went down through the generations. Now, the first ones to take it, which was, you know, you had Moses, and, of course, you had Caleb and Joshua, and you had a lot of others. And you had the generation that followed the one generation that died in the desert because of the rebellion. You had all of these that went into the promised land eventually. Moses didn't make it, neither did most of the other people, but their children did, and Joshua and Caleb did, and they conquered. Then you had the time of David, and he was a conqueror, and he did really good. And so you have those times when Israel really, really does good, and then you have the times in the latter part after the fall of Solomon, after you know, he fell away from the Lord. The Jewish commentators, you know, a lot of them believe that and openly state that, you know, he was saved. He repented before the Lord. Well, there's no proof of that anywhere except in what they may write themselves, but no proof to us. However, Solomon did allow his heart to fall away from the Lord in that he allowed some idols in the land, which he shouldn't have. And for that, God divided them. And when that happened, both of those houses eventually were sent into captivity. And, of course, when we talk about judgment, the judgment on the Gentiles also was horrific. You know, remember all the nations that were overthrown when Israel went into that promised land in the first place. And then, of course, you had some of those who were conquered on the way going in there. And you had the flood, and you had the fall of Nineveh, and, of course, the fall of Babylon, and you had the Assyrian Empire that had trouble and fell. And you can go on and on. And what we're saying here is that while there was judgment on Israel, there was judgment on the Gentiles a lot. So it's easy to really get to the point to where you think that Israel is so rebellious. Look at them. Well, on the scale of everything, Israel, you know, still needs to find the Messiah, the true Messiah. But God has not forsaken them. And so, you know, how could a prophet then approach the people to try to tell them and get them to understand, you know, so that what he was saying was something they could understand? And so he would give them a precept, you know, a little bit at a time. And it would be one line after another. Instead of just giving them a whole essay, he gives them just a little bit. And they were still on the milk. They wouldn't go further. And he couldn't get them to understand it. They mocked God. They resented God. And, of course, I remember an old preacher, you know, saying, you know, I've said this a lot, and people say, well, why do you say that all the time, or why do you preach that? And he says, well, I preach it, and I'm going to continue to preach it until you listen. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to say it in a sermon. I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. Repetition. Well, see, this prophet by the name of Isaiah and the other prophets that would sent, they would do that. They would line upon line, they would repeat it, they would tell them, they couldn't get them past it. These people always resented it. And it got to the point where you get to Isaiah 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now this is really an interesting verse. When you get into 28:11 and 28:10, those two form a verse, a prophecy. When we look at evidence of speaking in tongues, precept upon precept, line upon line, and with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And we can see that on the day of Pentecost as well as in the following infilling of the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, to this people at the time that this was given, it's going to be another tongue and stammering lips that they wouldn't like. It wasn't going to be a message in a church given by someone who is speaking in tongues. It was going to be through a people that had swords and siege towers and nasty people who would come in and kill and pillage. Are you going to understand now? I'll tell you, when Israel got done with the 70 years and they went back into the land, there was that little temple that they had, and it wasn't nothing like what they had did have. And God said, don't despise the day of small things. You know, they had come back, they wanted a bigger temple. And even when Christ came, one of the last things the apostles wanted to know is, would you at this time restore Israel to her former glory? And he says, it's not for you to know. Israel as a state would never be restored, but Israel, the people, as Paul said, for Israel is not Israel, spiritual Israel. There's those who were born again by the Spirit. But with this one, stammering lips and another tongue, the Assyrians would invade. And see, they would go through the land. And when they're going through the land, they would invade Judah, but they wouldn't be able to take Jerusalem. And, of course, it was there that the angel of the Lord slew the army of Sennacherib. And Sennacherib went back to his homeland, and he went into his temple of his God, probably trying to figure out why he lost. And while he was in there, his two sons assassinated him, and he died. That was the rest of the judgment. But you see, Judah would get invaded, and they would suffer humility, and they would suffer some of the invasions, and some of the towns and the people would get killed and pillaged. But when he went to Jerusalem, he was defeated, and this was a lesson. He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. You'll see Assyria busting in to destroy Samaria. And you'll see him coming in to Judea to destroy the land and invade him. And nobody will be able to stop him. And then they're going to come to Jerusalem and they're going to terrify. They're going to stand before your gates. They're going to mock you. They're going to mock your God. They're going to stand there. But in the end, I'll destroy him. And Sennacherib himself was destroyed. And that's giving them a choice. You won't listen to the prophet. You won't hear my word. So I'm going to speak to you with judgment. And in that judgment, I will have mercy. But if you don't listen to this, then you will be destroyed. For I will send you into captivity for 70 years. And that's where Jeremiah came in after Isaiah. Because God gives them a choice. And I can tell you right now, he's given America a choice right now. We've got people that want to destroy your country. They want to throw out Christianity. They want to throw out everything this thing was built upon. And what do they have to answer for it? They're being backed by China, Soros. They've got Marxists in there. They've got radical Islamists in there. You have a choice, America. There's no clearer choice. And you got a constitution. You've got people willing to turn this, help turn this nation around. But the people in their hearts are just like Israel of old. Line upon line. Precept after precept. You don't move beyond the milk. You want to drink all day. You want to get drunk on your lifestyle. You love this. You imbibe in it. You ignore God. You don't fear God. You don't worship God. You don't care. You curse him every day. And you curse Jesus Christ. And you curse the name of God. And yet you expect this nation or any nation to survive. And God said to Israel, I'm going to speak to you, but it'll be with stammering lips and another tongue. And by the time I'm done, this is going to be an actual example. And you're going to see it with your own eyes. Because if you're not going to listen to the lips of the prophet, if you're not going to listen to my instruction through my servant, then I will send this, my other servant, to you. And he's not going to come with stammering lips, especially just to talk to you. He's going to come and he's going to give a message, but it's going to be at the hand of sword and conquering. And you're going to see what happens when you fall away from me. And see, it's the same thing with sin today. And see, this is where the unbelievers and the others get in at. God is a jealous God, and if you don't serve him, you're going to be destroyed. And that's not true at all. This God is a holy God, and he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. But you, as his creation, cannot stand before him and survive without being redeemed through his son, Christ Jesus. You can thank God you are in the new covenant. Now, see, the big problem now, you see, this came, and he said in verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, the refreshing is what? Being obedient. The same thing as a Christian, obedient. The Lord said in John 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In 1 John 1, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we have to walk in the light of Christ as he is the light and what he does. We are not Christians to go fornicate. We are not Christians to delve into lifestyles that are anti-God and a blasphemy. It's not all right. And in this nation, it's not all right for some of these leaders, black and white, and any other race that you can name. They go to their private little churches whose pastor don't tell them the truth, and they get back up on the political stage and they blaspheme before God, saying things they should not say, doing things they should not do. There is no justice in killing people in the street. There's no justice in burning the place down. There's no justice in truth. And it's not because people are white or black or purple or green or whatever you want to call them. It's not because of the Constitution. It's not because of the way this country was. The problem is sin. The problem is sin in the people. The problem is the kids have been brought up, spoiled, ensnared in ungodliness and wickedness and unbelief. And people have preyed upon them and taught them wrongly. And now, just as in Israel, when there was a generation that grew up that knew not the Lord, so today in America we have many generations that grew up and do not recognize any type of God except their own lust and their own self-centeredness. And I say unto you, there is a rest that God would give us to have. But that rest is not found in rebellion. That rest is not found in sin and iniquity, although you can delve in it and your flesh will love it. But there is a rest, and through Christ there is a rest today. Then there's a rest right now to those who are in Christ. In verse 13 of that said, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go, fall backward, be broken, snared, and taken. Now see Isaiah 28:10, Isaiah 28:13 says the same thing. Now this is very important. It's been repeated twice. In this context, that means you'd better pay attention. See, if they had obeyed the Lord, they wouldn't have this problem. But see, there's one thing that we learned, that even in captivity, we found that they can serve the Lord and be blessed. Daniel was blessed. The enemy conspired against him, and he wound up in the lion's den, and God delivered him. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was conspired against, and the king threw him in the fire. And the Son of God appeared with them, and they came out of the fire with not a singe or the smell of smoke on them. God had delivered them. They lived their lives in this Babylon where sin and gods were everywhere and fornication and every evil, witchcraft and sorceries, and they lived for the Lord every day. And when they were confronted with something to do that they knew was not right, they said, "Be it known unto thee this day, O King, that our God can deliver us, but even if he does not, we will not bow down." Now, O Christian, I tell you today, there is a wine being poured out from the whore, Revelation 17. And the nations have drank it, and in America they have drank it. And it's up to you to say, "No, I will not drink of that cup, for I will serve the Lord. He is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, I will not drink of your cup nor bow down to your God." These are all related, folks. Verse 14, he says, "Wherefore, because of these things," in other words, "hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." Scornful men. They scorn God. They ridicule God. They despise God. And they've gotten the people the same way. "Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When an overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." The bottom line of it is that they refused and rejected the prophet and what he said, calling them back to the Lord. And the overflowing scourge would be the army of the Assyrians. And they said, "It shall not come unto us." It did go to us, all of them, except when it got to Jerusalem, God had mercy and spared it. In an effort to give them the obvious illustration that if you serve me, I will protect you. I will keep you and give you rest. And since You know, even though God delivered them, they did not return. Jeremiah had to preach for a long time, and they still didn't repent. And they still went into captivity for 70 years. But God still had mercy, and he brought them back to Jerusalem because the sentence was finished. In his judgment, there was mercy both times. And in God's mercy, you can find hope. And today, through Christ, there is mercy. There's judgment. There's hell. There's rebellion. But there's peace. There's joy. There's rest. And there's salvation through Christ. See? You have the choice. And see, this is something, and next time when we pick up on this, I'm going to pick up on these verses again because they're very, very important here to the story. And we're going to link it to where we're going next. You can't separate these out. It's very important to understand. You know, people every day make covenants with death. And you agree with hell. And you don't even know it. You know, and there, those kids on the street, there's many of them that are totally lost. They've been led astray. But they don't understand the costs. And we have had a number of them get killed. We need to save this generation. Father, we thank you for your word and for your blessing, Lord. Remember us in your judgment, have mercy. Move in the hearts of those that hear this. Guide our steps, O Lord, and may we be open to the Spirit's call. In Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I can't believe it's over. It was interesting, and I wasn't ready for it to be over.
Well, it's a good book.
It is. I love Isaiah. I can see America in there a lot, though.
Yeah, there's more stuff we'll go through, and it'll look even more like America.
It's funny how things never change. I mean, the days change, but things stay the same. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. Sin,
well,
that stuff never changes.
There's no,
and the goodness of God is a blessing.
There's not many new sins out there that I know of.
Nope.
You know, it all goes back. The biggest sin we have goes back to Cain. And that's the stain of blood guilt.
I don't know. I think the biggest sin is the rejection of God. That's the worst thing you can do to yourself.
Well, see, even Calvary itself is built upon blood.
Yeah.
You can either crucify Christ or you can receive him. That's the choices you have. Are you with those who crucified him, or are you with those that were standing beneath the cross, agonizing over his death and rejoicing when he was alive again? See, those are the two sides.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, we're going to have to go.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. We love you. We pray for you. Remember, you can send your prayer requests to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. We take your prayers seriously before the Lord. And we love you. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by our websites, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to check out all of our articles, all of our shows, and we are on a lot of different social sites where people are meeting. Check things out, folks. Read them. Draw close to the Lord. May the Lord God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Good night, everybody. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.